Ephesians 4 and verse 32. We touched Ephesians 4 and 32 last week, but we really didn't get into it, so we're going to get into it a little bit more. And let's look at it. Ganesta.
Day.
Ace. Alleluz. Praistoi. Eusplog. Noi. Carisomenoi. Theotois. Kathos. Kai. Hos. Theos. And Christo. Yikarisato. Amen. All right. Last verse in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. From now on, it's tough stuff. Well, he's going to start walking on us. But we need it, don't we? We need to be reminded who we are and where we came from. All of us. And this Ganesta is second person plural, present imperative, middle voice. Okay?
Somebody's out there. This is the Greek class. Okay.
This is what we call a historic present. It tells us to become and keep on being. Ye become for yourselves. All right? Ye become for yourselves. The middle voice there in it. Now, what does middle voice mean in Greek? Something you do yourself. That is the thing that just absolutely shouts, if I can spell it here where you can read it, this shouts volition. Volition is choice, isn't it? Choice. Volition is choice. It means that you can, may, or may not do something, okay? Volition. Now, hyper-Calvinism, that's what we call hyper-Calvinism or hyper-hard shell. They used to call black
hyper-election.
Hyper-electionist. They teach you don't have any will, that you're robots, that you are absolutely destined and determined to be as you are. Okay? But that's not what the Bible teaches. You can take pieces of Scripture out here and there, and you can prove election in it. But I'm going to tell you where election takes place in the Bible. It takes place with Israel and the church. And I don't mean the family of God. I mean the church. The ecclesia. Okay? Not the same, but the ecclesia. God elected Israel. Period. Abraham. He pulled him out of so many people back then. And it said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of the faithful. He picked him out. And he used him, even though he was ungodly, but he saved him by grace, didn't he? But Abraham did fall, huh? A lot of times he'd go in the wrong direction, but he did fall. And then how about the church? All right? God elected the church to be the administrator of his kingdom in this age, didn't he? He elected that church to be the administrator of his kingdom in this age that we have today. All right?
Then all those verses on election that we see in Paul's epistles, and there we're talking about either the Jews or the church?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. The Jews and the church. The Jews and the church.
And John.
Yeah, and John. And in Jude. And Enoch is full of it. Well, he's just full of the word election in the book of Enoch and the word elect and election. All right? Well, let's go on. Ye become for yourselves, and ye become for yourselves, and then we have the word ace, alleluz, unto, pointed to one another. Kind. We should be kind to one another. Sometimes when you condone your brother's sins, is that really kind? Is it kind to them?
No.
Not kind. You need... You know, the Bible has a stand, what is black and white, isn't it? There is very little gray area in the Bible. There just isn't any gray area, basically. Sometimes being kind to your brother is not the best thing to do. Sometimes you need to tell them the truth and point them the right direction. That's being kind. Your children, being kind to them is not just turning them loose and letting them do whatever they want to do. Is that kind to your children? No. And your brothers in church relationship is what basically the word brother and sister in the Bible is talking about. People in church relationship, ecclesiastical relationship. You are brothers and sisters in a church relationship. Local church relationship, okay? We are to be kind to one another, but sometimes we have to call each other on the carpet, don't we? That's what you do when you go to church and get preached. And the word does a lot of calling, doesn't it? Calls you all kinds of everything but the good sometimes. And the Holy Spirit, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do with the Word? Convince you of sin, what sin is. When you listen to a sermon, you ought to know when you get through what sin is. You ought to know what righteousness is, and you know what ought to know what judgment to come is, because the Bible tells us about that, doesn't it? Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And who will convict your hearts of that?
The Holy Spirit.
All right. I was listening to a man on the radio today, and he was telling me, he was telling everybody, he said, I tried to work outside the Holy Spirit sometimes. He said, I had a sister that I used to talk to all the time, and I tried to convince my sister that she was wrong, and that she was going the wrong way. And he said, I did it 10,000 times, ministerially speaking. Yeah. You know, that's an exaggeration, what you call a hyperbole. But he said, one day, God convicted my heart to tell her one more time. And I said, Lord, I already told her 10,000 times. And he said, tell her one more time what's right and what's wrong. And so he told her again. And she started crying and going on. She was just weeping and convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit did his job. Holy Spirit did his job. She said, why didn't you tell me before? And he said, I did before. So many, many times. You didn't listen before. Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't there before. The Holy Spirit could not work on her heart before. If God is convicting your heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment tonight, do not walk off and leave it without being answering for it, because it may never come again. You know something? That repentance is a gift. I'm going to tell you something. Repentance is a gift. It is a gift. Repentance is a gift. When God gives you repentance, when you're sorry for what you've done, repent. Because that means God, the Holy Spirit, is working with you, and you can turn away from that moment. Does it always haunt you? Oh yes, our sins always haunt us. But we can repent of our sins, and we can call upon God. All right. Become kind and stay kind to one another. Euthyphlog snoi. Now, I explained it a little bit last week, 1 Peter 3 and 8. Yeah, this word is used two times in the New Testament. Hippocrates used it in his writings, and it's used in the Septuagint also. It comes from you, and smotna, and that means your intestines. This I explained last week, when you see somebody hurting, you see somebody get run over in a car, boom, see a little animal run over or something, and your little guts just shiver inside. You ever felt that? That's what you call spastic colons or intestinal spasms. That's what this word means here. It means that you, from the seat of your infections, that actually you are feeling compassion. All right? That's what it means. From the very seat of your affection. Now, you can't fake this. A lot of people can cry crocodile tears and everything, but this goes beyond all of the facade, and this is down to the root of affections, okay? This is what's happening inside of a person. And then it says, Charisso Menoa, present participle, middle voice again. See that middle voice? Every time you see how God is dealing with man, there is volition involved. Volition is involved. Okay? Forgiving. Present participle. What is the present participle? You know, a participle is kind of like a noun and a verb married together, isn't it? I used to hear one of my old teachers say, it's one of them continuing things. That's what a participle is, something that goes on and on. Forgiving yourselves. Have you ever asked God over and over again to forgive you of the same sins because you're really sorry for them? He has. He's forgiven you. He's forgiven you. Forgiving yourselves, one another. You forgive yourself and you forgive one another of those sins. Just as kathos, that comes from kata and hos, also the God, hothios, in Christ, how did He forgive us? There's only one way to forgiveness, people. That's Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only way to come to God. Your ungodly sins, that's what nailed Jesus to the cross. Your ungodly and rebellious ways, that's what nailed Jesus to the cross, and that's how He suffered. And then look at the word that He forgave us in Christ, and then you use the word ekarisato, third person singular. First there is indicative. What voice is that in? Middle voice. How did God forgive us? He became flesh, and He was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and He died for us. That's how He forgave us. How He forgave you for Himself. He forgave for Himself you. You all is what it actually says. Now we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. In este, look at that one again. In este, un memekai to you. Hos, techna, agapeta. I wrote down here a long time ago, a child that is in love with his father, imitates his father, and desires to be like his father, to follow in his footsteps. We ought to be like our father, shouldn't we? When we become saved, and that's a point of time in our lives, we ought to set the rest of our life on the Lord and be imitators of Him. If you want to be happy in your life, do that. If you want to be sad and you want to have problems and earthquakes and tidal waves and storms in the sea, you just go the wrong way. You will have them. Geneste, ye become and keep on becoming. What voice is that in? Middle voice. Therefore, imitators, mimickers of the what? God. Now, by the way, this is the term for of the God. There is also the term for Christ. So Christ is God.
The Greek has the article in there?
Yes, to theou. All right. The God and the Christ. How do we imitate God? By imitating Christ. Who is Christ? He is God. He is Jehovah. He who became flesh. Just as, we have a little adverb here, and a correlative, children, techno. All right? Techno.
What's the difference between theos and theou?
Theos and theou? Well, theou is genitive singular masculine. Theos is nominative singular masculine. All right, just the ending tells you what part of speech it is. All right, nominative, genitive, operative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, locative. Those eight cases. Okay, this is in the genitive case. All right, nominative, genitive. All right, nominative. Oos, os, oo, oo. Okay, os, oo, oo. That's two, two, and the definite article will be whole, and then two, two. All right. So that's genitive and operative. Children, what is a techno? What is a techno? Technically, what is a techno? Okay? A techno is a born son, a born child. Okay? That is a child. And then agapeta. What is the agapeta? That describes the child. Huh? Doesn't it? That's an adjective describing the child or the children. It's plural, by the way. Beloved's children's. Beloved born children. Beloved. How did God birth us? In love. That's how he birthed us. In love. He brought us forth as children of God in or by the agency of his love. All right. By the way, you can look up cross-reference Matthew 5 and 48, Luke 6 and 36, and Ephesians 4 and 32 if you want to later. And you can probably come back on the tape and get those, because I've got so many cross-references here that's going, you can't write them all down. You can write some of them down. 5 and 2, Matthew 20 and verse 28, 1 John 2 and 2, Philippians 4:18, Leviticus 4:31, Romans 3:25, Romans 8:37 and 4:25, Romans 14:15, Colossians 3:14, John 13:34, 6:51, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 5:25, Hebrews 7:27 and 9:14, 10:10 and 10:12, Exodus 29 and 18 and 25. 2 Corinthians 2:14, Leviticus 4:31. So this scripture does not stand alone, does it? The subject in this scripture is cross-referenced in all of those places. Let's think about that now. Do you think what we're going to read now, do you think this is of God? Do you think it's very important? If God cross-referenced this many times in the Bible? You think it's important? All right. Kai. Peripatete. In. Agape. Kathos. Kai. Ho. Christos. Agapeson. Himos. Kai. Paridokin. Yelton. Heper. Himon. And then look at this capital. What's that capital, Brother? What's that mean, Brother David?
It means that it's a quotation
for emphasis. All right. Prosparon. Okay, I know that one's hard because it's in capitals.
Prosparon.
Kai.
Theseon.
Tu.
Theu.
Ace. Os. Main. And Eudios.
Can you put that on the board since my page cuts it off?
Yeah. Your page cuts what part of it?
The last word.
The last word?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is not the way I write it, okay? I'm trying to correct it here. While I'm at it, I may as well correct it. All right. It's like an epsilon. It should be like that. And then an upsilon, but it's capital, an omega capital, a delta capital, an iota capital, an alpha capital, and a capital sigma. Okay? That C is actually a sigma at the end of the word. Now, this is a quotation, all right, from Leviticus 4:31, by the way, and Exodus 29:18 and 25. Now, let's go back and see what it means. And ye walk around continuously, second person, plural, present, indicative, active. All right? But it can be also imperative, active. Present indicative and present imperative have the same root at the end of this word, has the same ending. So it can mean, what do you think it is? If it's a commandment, what tense or what mode would it be in? The imperative mode, okay? If it's in the indicative mode, it means that you are doing it. But you are commanded to do this. You walk around. You have your daily life. You have your daily conversation, as it says in King James, I think, is what it says there. Your daily walk in life, your continuous activity, you do that in love. In love. And this word love here is what? It's agape. What kind of love is that? Sacrificial love. Kathos. Kathos, again, is from Kata and Hos, and it means just as also. Just as also. Now, this word chi there, sometimes it's a conjunction. Sometimes it's an adversative conjunction. And then sometimes it is a cumulative particle. What does a cumulative particle do? Or a particle of affirmation. Those are big words, aren't they? What does that mean? Yes or also. Okay? Yes or also. The particle of affirmation is yes, and it's a cumulative particle as also. You walk around in love just as yes, the Christ, he divinely loved, or as also the Christ, he divinely loved. All right? The Christ, the Messiah. All right? If you want to put down, this is the Messiah of Israel. The Messiah, he divinely loved. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. That comes from agapeo. First aorist, when did he do this? On the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary, didn't he? And then, himos, who is that? That's accusative plural, second person pronoun. That's himos. Then, chi, again, here, the chi is a conjunction, our name. All right? And then para doken. Para and didymi is where it comes from. Para and didymi. Para means what? Alongside. Paraclete, you know, your parakaleo, the Holy Spirit. He walks along and comforts us and walks alongside. Well, now, this is another term here. Just as he handed over himself. Did they arrest Jesus? At Gethsemane? Did they really? He allowed them to arrest him, didn't he? He allowed them to arrest him. Did he allow them to arrest him or kill him before that?
Nope.
It wasn't ready. It wasn't time yet. But there in Gethsemane, he has done all that he was supposed to do on this earth as the forerunner, or as the Messiah of Israel. Now, he's going to go to the cross of Calvary. Okay? And then he handed himself over. He allowed them to arrest him. On behalf of you all. That's it. He allowed them to arrest him on behalf of every one of us. And then we have the word prosphoron. That comes from pros and peril. Pros means to lead. That means something ahead of. Ahead of something, doesn't it? Pros or pro. In English we have the word pro. And the word prophet means to what? To say something beforehand. To tell something before it's going to happen. So right here we have something that's going to be carried forward. What is this carrying forward? What does the word mean? Well, from the Hebrew, it means to bring the altar, to bring the sacrifice to the altar, an offering.
Is this where they burn the incense in the temple?
This is where they bring the offering. Not so much the incense. But this is the blood.
This is
the calf. This is the offering. This is the lamb. This is the turtle dove. This is whatever was offered. This is the animal that died on behalf of somebody else's sins. All right? Now,
well, here it says a fragrant aroma, or a sweet smelling aroma.
Uh-huh. Well, now, what is that sacrifice to God? When Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary, was that every one of those incenses in the temple of God, in the tabernacle, what did those incenses mean? They were a sweet aroma of the prayers. They were sweet smelling to God's nostrils. Those sweet. That was what we call a condescension. When God descends down to earth and tries to put his feelings in human language. Now, God does not like burning flesh. Do you like the smell of burning flesh? How many of you ever singed the chicken?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, it doesn't smell very good, does it? Well, do you think God likes the smell of that burning feathers and stuff on a little turtle dove? Do you think he likes the smell of it? What part of the sacrifice was sweet-smelling to God? The blood. It was typifying his son.
In addition, the offerings that Mary had made on Jesus before he was died.
Yes. All those typify what Jesus would do. All right? Jesus went through all the offerings and everything just like any other Jewish boy and Jewish man. But every one of the offerings that he ever offered typified himself. Every time they put him out there on the altar to be burned up and the flesh burned up, the part of the offering that burned up and went up the smoke typified that God would accept that offering. What does smoke do? It goes up. All right? Where is up?
Toward heaven.
All right. And so God would accept that offering. Now, remember when Elijah and the prophets of Baal had a little contest one time? Now, that was kind of a funny story, wasn't it? Elijah and the prophets of Baal, they had a contest. And God told Elijah, you go out there and you build you an altar, a stone, and you tell the prophets of Baal over there, you tell them that go over there and build your altar sacrifice and put your sacrifice on top of it, and then we're going to build an altar for God over here, Jehovah, and we're going to put Jehovah's sacrifice over here. Now, the one that was going to win, how was it going to win? Who would know who's going to win?
Whichever one got lit.
Whichever one, the fire came down out of heaven and lit it and consumed it. That's the one that was right. Okay? That's the one that was pleasing to the Almighty Creator. Okay? Every nation has an Elohim. But only God's people have a Jehovah. He who shall become. Every nation, I don't care what you are, a Buddhist or whatever, you got an Elohim. That's a Creator. Okay? But only true religion has a Jehovah. They believe that Jehovah became flesh and died on the cross for us. Every nation has an Elohim. Now let's get back to Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, okay? Now here we are up on Mount Carmel, and they are out there pleading and crying to their God. Well, Elijah was really making fun of the prophets of Baal, and there were a lot of them too. There were quite a few of them there. He said, why don't you holler a little louder? Maybe he's hard of hearing, your God. And nothing happened. And they said, well, why don't you holler a little louder? Maybe he's gone to the toilet. That's what he told them. Maybe he's out there in the outhouse someplace. And they said, why don't you cut yourselves a little more? They were gashing their flesh and cutting themselves and screaming and bawling and crying out to Baal. Well, in the meanwhile, their sacrifice is all dry up here on the altar, right up here on top of this mountain, and nothing's happening to it. So what did Elijah say to do to his offering?
Soak it.
He said, build a dike around this. Build a berm, a dike. How many of you ever been around these tank farms?
Mm-hmm.
They've got dikes around them. That's if the tanks break or something, it'll hold up the oil so it won't run and make a mess, okay? Those are kind of canal banks, okay? Well, he said, build up a dike around this thing and then pour water all over it and let water flow all the way up to the sacrifice. Just put barrels and barrels of water. I'm going to tell you something. Water was scarce in those days. They had a drought, but somewhere he got water. And they put that water on top of that, on that sacrifice, and they kept pouring it. And then when God, what did God do? Fire came down out of heaven and consumed his sacrifice, and it took care of the Baalites too, didn't it? Kind of burned them up. It consumed them. Well, Elijah was standing there with his sacrifice consumed, and he was a winner. All right. The Lord handed himself over as an offering, prosthero, something that was carried forth and offered, and a sacrificial, a sacrifice, a slaughter. That word, ousion, that means something slaughtered. That means something sacrificed. Was Jesus slaughtered? Boy, you just... Have you, how many watched the movie, the crucifixion? What's the name? The
Passion
of
Christ.
I tell you what, that was the most realistic picture of Christ's suffering that I ever saw. A lot of it was baloney in that movie, but the beating and the crucifixion in that movie was pretty accurate. It was pretty horrible, too. I just couldn't hardly stand it. It just made my stomach turn because I realized that my sins were beating Christ. And I hope that you realize your sins were cutting his flesh. The man that was playing Jesus in that movie, you know that they hit him twice with those cat of nine tails. They had him covered up with everything else, and they had him protected, but somebody missed twice. And they actually cut him, and that was a real cat of nine tails with metal in it. And it left scars on that man, that actor. It cut him, and he screamed out, really in pain. If you went ahead and acted through it, you know, that's pretty hard to do sometimes. Put that! You know, but he went on. Because he was cut. His flesh was ripped up. That's Jesus. Now that was a sacrifice. And then they nailed him to the cross. Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was on the cross from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock and the skies turned black. And then at 3 o'clock, what happened? Again, he died. Again, he allowed his spirit to be released from his body. Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. And then, at the very moment that he chose, he died. Now, you ever know anybody that did that? Predict their death. He predicted his death for days. He predicted what would happen, who would arrest him. And then when he allowed them to arrest him, they beat him like this. And he lived through the beating. You know that? He lived through the beating. There in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, what happened to Jesus there? You remember when he was sweating? What was he sweating?
Drops of blood.
There is a medical term, and I don't know what the term is right now. I forgot the term. But there's a medical term where you're under so much torture and pressure and pain that your body really, a lot of people start, that their eyes turn red around here, and actually the blood vessels start breaking around their eyes, and blood starts running down their face. That's horrible. But that's what happened to Jesus. There in Gethsemane, that's before he was beat. All right, there was a tremendous amount of pain on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane because your sins were on him. Your uncles, your aunts, your mother, your fathers, your children's sins were on Jesus right there. Everybody's sins were on Jesus at that time. And then he was arrested and beat up and slapped. Then he was beaten and he lived through all of that. Because it wasn't time for him to die yet. But when it came time for him to die, he gave up his spirit and he died. He was a sacrifice. He was a sacrificial slaughter to the God. Eis osme. Here we have the word you were talking about, brother. Eis osme. Osme. For the purpose of an odor. Sweet smelling. That's what the word osme means. That means an odor that is received. The cloud of smoke went up to God. And then it was Eudoios. Sweet smelling or good smelling. In other words, it was accepted. 5 and verse 3. We run some really good verses tonight. But now we're getting into some hard preaching. This verse here just slaughters us, is what it does. Because it tells us and points out our sins to us. And it's going to do that. Poneia. They. Kai. Akarthias. Akarthias. I'll say it in a minute. Akatharsia. Pasa. A. Pleonexia. Mayday. Onem. Ona. Mazesto. In. Amen. Kathos. Prete. Hagios. This first word here is a twisted sexual activity. That's what it really means. Something that you take something that is natural. God gives every one of us sexual desires. Those sexual desires are for your husband and wife. It is natural. It is normal. There's nothing wrong with it. But people use it to gain, well, in the movies today. You have men that are promoting their good looks, and you have women that are promoting their good looks. Okay? They're promoting them. They are becoming, well, there are prostitutes. The Bible calls them whores. All right? There are male prostitutes and female prostitutes in the Bible. And this is all of it covered in this word right here. This is talking about homosexuality. This is talking about perversion. This is talking about pornography. This is talking about all immoral, unnatural sexual activity. That's it. Right there. Everything is all right there. But it starts out with this word they. That's what this sermon is supposed to be. But sexual immorality and akarthisia, that means uncleanness. Again, this means homosexuality. All sexual perversion is in this word. And then it uses the word all. And then we have the word a, and that is a correlative. And that's an or, all right? Or and. Greediness. Lust to have more and more and more and more without measure. Pleonexia. It comes from pleo and echo. It means to sail around and grab everything in sight. Okay? To have to excess. This word greediness here. Lust. This is what we have. This is the word gambling. This is the word for what we call, what the oil companies are doing to America today. What do you call that? What is the term for this? You know, they call them before Congress 2 or 3 times already. What is it called? Scamming. Making a profit is fine. But when you're breaking the whole country in making that profit, then it becomes immorality. Okay? That means to hire a man that you've got a $1 billion business and you're paying your guys 10 cents an hour. That's greediness. Okay? This is greed. All of this is greed. This is, how did God make man to make his living? By the sweat of your brow, okay, or by the sweat off your nostrils. God wants you to work for a living because it keeps you out of trouble. Did you know that? Working keeps you out of trouble. It does. If you have to work for a living, you will be out of trouble most of the time unless you're trying to rip somebody off. This is the con artist. These are the pickpockets. The thieves, the gamblers, Why is gambling so bad? Because you're trying to reverse the curse of God. God put a curse on you that you have to work for a living. And if you can go out and win it or get it for nothing, you're thumbing your nose at God. Say, look what I did, God. That's what Cain's descendants did. They didn't want... Cain was a... he was a farmer, wasn't he? When God would not accept his produce that he bought before God, and he said, look what I did. I got more than enough. I sweat a little bit and produced a whole lot. What did God do to Cain? He said, from now on, you're going to be cursed twice as much. You're going to have to work twice as hard to produce the same amount. I had a prescribed method coming to me, and that was by an animal sacrifice, and Cain, you didn't do it. So now you're going to be double cursed. What did Cain go out and do after that?
He killed his brother,
but what did he do after that? He invented slavery. He had a big corporation. Working everybody in the ground and making ungodly profits. He was again going to do away with the curse, wasn't he? I could get past the curse. You know, there's only one way to God. People try to work themselves to heaven, don't they? That's what we call hyper-Arminianism. Work themselves to heaven, or it's not going to happen. Mayday! You know, that's on the radio, Mayday is what? Emergency! All right.
Before you go on to that, Jim, section there, you mentioned the word for... impurity. Catharsis?
Yes.
Is that the word where our catharsis comes from?
Yes. Cleansing.
Okay.
Yeah. Catharizo is the term, but it has an alpha in the front of it, and it means uncleanness.
Okay.
But up there, the whole subject of the whole top line is sexual immorality. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then it's... Terry.
You say, maybe, what does SOS mean? I always forget.
It also means emergency also. That's a mayday.
But it used to have S and it's something O and an F.
It means emergency. Before it was SOS, it was called CQ. When the Titanic went down, they were hollering, they were sending out CQ. Da 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 da. That's what they were sending on in Morse code. Da 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 da. CQ. And CQ was Mayday or emergency. Now, if you had been on voice, you would have said Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. But at that time, the designated a signal for emergency was CQ. Now, in ham radio, CQ means I'm calling somebody. Okay? It means calling all, thorn hands or whoever's listening, I want to talk to somebody. But back then, it meant emergency. Then CQ was redesigned to be calling all hands or amateurs, and SOS was the term for emergency. All right, that was
emergency. I like this definition.
What?
I like this definition. Save our soul.
Save our soul. Well, he always comes up with something good. His daddy taught him real good. All right. I like the verse up there, verse 32, when it says, if we love our daddies, we want to be like them, huh? Well, you got a good daddy to pattern yourself after there, David. Mayday. More or not. And not or neither, let it be named among you or in you. In you is who? Who's he talking to here? Huh? Who's he talking to? He's talking to a church, isn't he? Don't let this be named among God's churches. Don't do it. Don't let these things be named among you. Do not let it be named among you. This is not going to happen in my churches. Now we got people that... They got churches for all of these people up here. These gamblers, and they got churches for the homosexuals and everything else. But what did God say here? No. You're not going to be in my church. You're not going to be in my church. Don't let this named among you. Kathos, just as pray pay. All right. Pray pay. That means to turn around. All right? Just as is becoming or fitting or convenient for God's holy ones. If you're a holy one, what does it mean? First of all, about you being a saint. Okay? If you're saved and you're a part of one of God's churches, you are a saint. Okay? What does a saint mean? I mean, the Catholics got these saints, you know, they got St. Peter, St. George, and whatever else, you know.
Believer.
All right, what is this hog ears? That's a rough reader, so it actually looks like this. All right, hog ears. What's an alpha in Greek mean? Not. All right. What does this term here in Greek mean? That's a word. That's for the word earth. Yay. That's the word earth. Okay. Not of earth. So when you're a saint, what does it mean?
You're heavenly.
You're heavenly, you're not of earth. When you're born the first time, you're born of the earth, aren't you? You're born of an earthly mother and an earthly father. When you're born again, what are you? You're born from above. All right? And that is a saint. Someone that's born from above. And it says, don't let these things be named among you. Greediness. And look at the word onomazesto. It's third person singular present in imperative passive. Don't let it be named. Don't you let anybody else call your church a church of ungodly buzzards. It shouldn't be that way. A church should be holy. A church should be different than the rest of the world. Onomazo means to place a name upon. To call you something. Alright? When you got a name, there was a time when David there, he didn't know anything. His daddy had to tell him his name and his mom. Didn't he? Did you tell him his name? You put a name on him, didn't you? You placed a name on him. That's what the word onoma or nomizato or nomizo means. To place a name upon him. Alright? Don't let this be named among you. Don't you be one of these kind of people. 5 and verse 4. We'll get some of this. Kai. Aistrotes. Kai. Morologia. A. Eutropilia. Ha. Uk. Anekin. Allah. Malon. Eucharistia. Boy, there's another one of them words that's going to scald us and pick us good. And Aiskrotes. What in the world is that? A filthy mouthed railer. Someone that talks like a sailor. Someone that has a filthy mouth. Someone that has ungodly language. Ungodly. What does ungodly mean? What's ungodly mean? That's not a good word. It's a very simple word. Let's look at it for just a moment. You know, we're studying language here, so let's study a little bit out of English. Okay? On the end of the word, when you see an L-Y, brother teacher, what does that mean?
Adverb.
Adverb is a word of action. Action. That's an adverb. It means actively. Actively. All right.
Doesn't it modify the word of action?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It modifies a word of action, or it means actively. And then we have the word un. What does un mean in English?
Not.
Not. And what does God mean?
God.
All right. Actively not relating to God. Actively not related to God. That's what ungodly means. All right? Ungodly.
As opposed to passive.
Yeah. Actively not related to God. There is no doubt when somebody talks like that, you know that they are godless. Or ungodly. Don't you? Or baseness, filthy, mouth, communication, abusive, offensive, voter. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's quite a term, isn't it? And that little conjunction, we have a conjunction here. Now we have one act there, which is isprotase, and then we have murologia. Muro. What is the word for idiot in Spanish? Huh? Huh? Loco. Loco, or what else? Loco. What's the word for moron? All right. What does the English word moron mean? The idiot. All right. It comes right out. It comes right out of Latin. Latin. It comes right out of Latin. Moron. An idiot. And what is an idiot? What does the word idiot in English mean? Idios. One that's talking to himself all the time, walks around talking to himself. That's what an idiot is. Did that strike a chord? Moral again. Someone that's talking like a moron. Foolish talk. Idiotic language. And when you combine that with isoprotase, what do you think he's saying? You ever hear some of these young people talk filthy language to each other?
Mm-hmm.
It started back in the 60s, what we call cutting. You ever heard of the word cutting? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Chopping somebody down. That means to insult somebody. You know what that is? Murologia. That's ungodly is what that is. It means that you ought to straighten that out. That's not godly language. Cutting somebody down. And then we have the word eutropelia. Eutropelia. All right, what's a eutropelia mean? A lawyer. An orator. A salesman. That's what it is right there. That's what that means.
That silly talk?
That means a performer.
Oh.
It is. It's a performer. It's somebody that is... The early churches like performers. They get up... Boy, they wanted somebody to entertain them.
Modern churches do too.
Yeah. Talk you out of everything that you have. That's what it means, smooth talker. Smooth language. That's the word, the con artist. Now, we had a con artist over here, this pleonexia, but now he gets down even more. Somebody that uses their mouth to work.
Slickster.
A slickster. Somebody that skins you out of everything that you got. That is a eutropelia. A con. All right? Which, not, aneke. All right? Third person singular in perfect and dignity vacuum. Aneko. All right? Which keeps on becoming, but rather thankful. Quit being a con. Quit being a liar. Quit being a filthy mouthed scoundrel. Quit talking like a moron. Quit trying to talk somebody out of what they have. These are the things that, now, just think about it for a while. When I worked for a hydraulic company one time, they said, tell them anything to get them in here. I don't care what you say. Like them. Do it. Like them. Do anything you can do to get them in this door. We'll get their machinery tore apart, and then they'll have to leave it here until we get it fixed. Lie them. Tell them we'll have it tomorrow morning. We know we can't have it for 2 weeks, but lie to them. You know what? That doesn't work with people very well. doesn't work with people very well at all. They will go someplace else the next time if it was me. I'd never let them touch anything I had again. Is it, what date is this, the 22nd? Thank you for your kindnesses tonight. I'm sorry that the Word of God was so hot tonight. But that's just the way it was, people. If you feel like you've been skinned and scalded and scraped when you leave here, God's Word did it to you. All I did was communicate it. All right? It's going to get hotter. That's all I got to say. Before it gets cool, it's going to get hotter. It's some pretty hard language for us. And every one of us, it relates to every one of us, doesn't it? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we go. Good to have you all here tonight. Brother John, could you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Thank you, Lord, once again, for opening our minds and our hearts to hear your almighty word and your plan for us and your church. Allow us to remember this and to pass it on to others. Your giving, your grace, and your, and what you have done by offering yourself on the cross. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.